Hello, everyone. My name is Darren Bafani, and welcome to our podcast, The Keys to M&A. In these podcasts, we will look at M&A strategies, techniques, and tips that entrepreneurs and companies can use to strengthen their businesses, create new commercial opportunities, and, most importantly, build lasting shareholder value. So let's go. When many people think of M&A, they often think of transactions between very large companies involving millions or billions of dollars that sometimes can change entire markets. But is M&A only for large companies? Can only multinational enterprises use M&A techniques to strengthen their firms, gain access to new markets, and obtain new clients? The answer is definitely no. Every firm, no matter how large or how small it is, regardless of the industry it operates in, and regardless of whether its market is global, national, or local, can become stronger through M&A. To see how firms can do this, first, let's talk about what M&A is. The first thing that usually comes to mind when we think of M&A is acquisitions or mergers between companies. But in practice, what is referred to as M&A actually includes many different types of transactions between two or more entities. These transactions can range from hostile takeovers of companies that are publicly traded to cooperative joint ventures between firms that can create entirely new products, accelerate the delivery of services, and sometimes remove structural market inefficiencies. So why do firms engage in M&A transactions? Generally speaking, the main reason that companies utilize M&A as part of their general corporate strategy is simple. They want to create or preserve value for shareholders. So how do firms do this? Well, just as in sports, shareholder value can be created through offense or defense. Let's give a few examples of how this can be done in practice. On the offensive side, let's say you're a real estate developer with a very profitable business and a great real estate brand, but you operate in a market where it is very difficult to find good plots of land to build. There may, however, in the same market, be another real estate company that is not profitable, but owns many plots of land that could be used for building. If you acquire that company, you would immediately own their land assets and be able to develop new projects. On the defensive side, let's say that you distribute agricultural products to supermarkets, but you notice that these clients increasingly prefer to buy directly from producers, which constitutes a major risk to your business. If you purchase an agricultural company, you can broaden your firm's vertical position and defend yourself against market share loss due to direct client purchases from producers. Now you might say to me, well, it may make theoretical sense to acquire another company for defensive or offensive purposes, but it may not be a practical solution for a number of reasons. One of which might be, you may not have the often large amount of money it takes to purchase another company. But rather than a weakness, this is actually one of the great things about the potential of M&A. If you do not have the funds to buy another company, or if it makes sense to use those funds for other corporate purposes, one approach might be to have an outside investor invest money in your firm and then use those funds to purchase the agricultural production company. If this is done right, it can be a triple win situation. Your supermarket clients receive great agricultural products that they can trace down to the point of production, and investors made a great investment that has production capacity as well as buyers, and your company is in a much stronger position thanks to third-party financing. The second reason why firms use M&A techniques is due to the old adage, time is money. Most people are aware that it is better to receive a dollar today than it is to receive a dollar a year from now, for the simple reason that you can invest a dollar and in a year have not only the dollar, but also the interest you earn on it. It might seem as though the interest rate on dollars has little to do with M&A, but in fact they are very closely related. The reason is that the faster you can generate revenues, the greater your return on investment will be, and the faster you will build shareholder value. In the M&A context, this means that if you generate revenues of $200,000 in 6 months through an acquisition, or spend the same $200,000 over a year trying to build a new company in a new market from scratch, the first approach will build value quicker. So now that we've considered what M&A is and how it can create value, the next question is, how can SMEs create a practical M&A strategy to help strengthen their firms? While every company is different and M&A strategies have to be designed in light of many factors, here are some ideas that I think are important to keep in mind. First, M&A is a means to an end, and the end is to build shareholder value. It is very easy for companies to get caught up in thinking that bigger is necessarily better or the excitement of doing deals, but it is important to shut out the external and internal noise that can surround M&A transactions and never lose sight of the basic question of whether a deal will build shareholder value. That is the holy grail of M&A. Second, there are many types of M&A strategies, and it is impossible to carry them all out at once. Because of this, you have to think hard about which M&A strategy to use, which is generally the one that has the greatest likelihood of building the greatest amount of value at the lowest cost. Making this decision is something that cannot be decided independently of where the market is or where it is heading. Just as most firms continually review their internal operations, you should have a systematic framework in place for reviewing market, business, and financial trends, thinking and rethinking through opportunities and risks, and have a concrete plan in place for triggering an M&A strategy if the right opportunity comes along. Third, the economics of an M&A deal have to be thought through very carefully. In addition to the upfront price tag for the acquisition of a firm or an asset, you have to think about what type of value the acquisition will create over time. This is not the time value of money, it is the time value of realized synergies of M&A transactions. This is a multi-layered issue that is not only about surface-level product and service matches or horizontal market growth, but also about operating synergies, cultural fits, and risk management gains. Fourth, as in many areas of business, the difference between a good and a bad deal is often found not in high-level concepts, but in the details. Because of this, you need to be sure to carefully analyze potential targets, potential transactions, and the terms and conditions that will govern any M&A arrangement going forward to make sure that the value that is forecasted is the value that is actually created. It is almost always the case that this analysis best results not from the decision of one person, but of a strong team with the appropriate expertise. Fifth, an M&A deal is like an arrow. Once you let it fly, it is very hard to get it back. While a great M&A deal can create tremendous value for a firm, a bad one can destroy value that in some cases has been built up over many years or even many decades. So you need to be optimistic, but you also need to be very careful. That was all for today. I hope you will join us for our next podcast. If you'd like to learn more about our firm, check us out on our website, www.121cf.com, or better yet, reach out so we can talk about your business and how we can help you grow. My name is Darren Bafani. This is the Keys to M&A, and thanks for listening.